You've already met my wonderful colleagues, who are my co-authors, Gabrielle Benenson and Amanda McWhorter. This presentation will describe redesigning travel health alert notices in plain language techniques and then having them evaluated by a focus group. This presentation should enable you to be able to describe the purpose of a travel health alert notice, give three findings of the focus group, and list six key components of plain language techniques that help support health literacy. Travel health alert notices are distributed by U.S. quarantine stations to arriving international passengers who have been exposed on flight to an ill passenger with certain symptoms or suspected diseases. The protocol of the disease determines which passengers receive the travel health alert notice. These notices are have important information that the traveler should keep. It alerts them about signs and symptoms during the incubation period, and if they get these symptoms, to report to a doctor who will diagnose them, and then if the doctor diagnoses them, the doctor will report this case to the state and local health departments. Now, in the 1960s, these travel health alert notices were generic. They were not specific to any disease, and they were handed out to all international arriving passengers to heads of households. And they were the size of a credit card. This particular notice was redesigned to an index card size in 2002, and it was measured to be at a 12th grade level. Now, disease-specific travel health alert notices were only occasionally used, such as in the 1990s for cholera and in the 2003 for SARS. And also in 2006, there was a measles outbreak in Europe, so a measles travel health alert notice was designed. Now, none of these have ever been pilot tested or evaluated by travelers. So our purpose and our process was that we took that measles travel health alert notice and rewrote it using health literacy plain language techniques and designed three new formats, then showed the focus group the three formats and got feedback on the clarity of the messages and the choices of the formats, then report the findings and make recommendations. A little bit about plain language techniques before we go on to the focus group. There are two very important techniques that are the submerged part of the iceberg that most people don't see or even consider, but they're the most important. And that, it seems obvious, but often when we write public health messages, we're not considering the reader or the purpose. So in this case, our audience is widely diverse and international. Many times they speak English as a second language. They're in a hurry to get to their destination or to catch a connecting flight. They are parents of young children or they're elderly, and all of these are elements that dictate that we must use plain language. The purpose, of course, we considered was that we wanted to alert people that they were exposed to a disease on their trip and to give the symptoms that they should watch for and to keep the card for several days to monitor the symptoms and then to go seek help or treatment, and then when they visit the doctor, that the doctor report the case to the state or local health department. More obvious plain language techniques are to use just three or four key messages. So often in public health we want to tell everything that we know, but to use wisely only three or four key messages, to write in clear, concise, and simple language. And that just merely means to choose words carefully, to choose words with few syllables, to not use jargon, to explain any difficult language, and to write in an active voice rather than passive. Write it directly to the reader. You are exposed. You may have been exposed to measles. Something like that. Then group like actions together so that helps support the clarity of the message. And order the text by importance. This is extremely useful because so much of science writing is to prove the case in point. So actually material is written like a pyramid. Slowly but surely you get to the point at the end. Well, in plain language and in good journalism, you write as an inverted pyramid. You give all the most important information at the very within the first three paragraphs, and then the nice no is at the very end. So put it on its head. Chunk information in short sentences of only 8 to 10 words, and with paragraphs that have only 3 to 5 sentences. So, words with few syllables, sentences with few words, and paragraphs with few sentences are very important. Also consider guiding the reader with easy-to-read text that are bold-faced, subheads, bullets, and white space is extremely important. The point size is very important to consider. Using 12 or 14 point size is necessary, as you will see in this presentation. Now, about our focus group. We met last December for 2 hours, and we had two basic criteria from which we picked these participants, and they all had to have traveled internationally and not work in the medical field or in public health. Out of the 6 participants, 5 were born in other countries. Their ethnic origins were in Ecuador, Jamaica, Japan, Taiwan, China, and in Thailand. And out of these participants, 2 were non-U.S. citizens, 1 spoke English as a second language. 5 were females, 2 had high school degrees, 2 had bachelor's, master's degrees, and 2 had doctorate degrees. 3 were aged 30 to 44, and 3 were aged 45 to 59. Now, in the beginning, we engaged the focus group in a general discussion about traveling. We had them imagine they're returning from an international trip and learn that they were exposed to an ill passenger. What did they want to know, and how did they want to know it? And this is what they told us. They want to know that the name of the disease and the symptoms, whether it was contagious and how it was transmitted, was it airborne? How easy was it to catch by touch? Was it a virus? And what about the disease in relation to the plane? Was the airflow safe? How near could they sit to an ill passenger and still be okay? And how should they protect themselves? Should they wear a face mask, and what kind? They were okay also with giving, when we probed them, they were okay with giving more to give their contact information. They were actually appreciative that someone would call and follow up and see if they actually got the disease. And they were concerned about whether they themselves would transmit the disease. And they understood that the type of disease dictated the kind of, you know, the delivery of the information. They were all willing to read any kind of written material, whether it was through a card or a website or this kind. But most important, what we found interesting, is they spent more time discussing that they wanted verbal explanation. They wanted to make sure somebody made sure they read it, that they reinforced the importance, that if they spoke English as a second language, they would even understand the information. So the verbal explanation was just as important as their written material. Then we showed them our latest travel health alert notice, which was done, as we said, in 2006, and specific to measles, and kind of got their general feedback, and they liked the yellow card. This is a large index card size, so it's the largest one we've ever developed. They liked the large index card size, they liked the yellow color, they liked the bold facing and the bullets, but they didn't like the point size, which indeed is 9 points, and they said the font size was too small. So the next slides, we will show you the 3 different formats that we redesigned using plain language techniques. And in this format too, it's a half-page format. If you were to turn a page on the side and cut the sheet in half, this is a half a page. And we actually use this format to discuss content. This is the only time in which we discuss content. We ask them to read this, to think about what struck them, what questions they had, and then we discussed the content. All of them understood the messages quite clearly, That they were exposed to measles, that they were to hold onto the card to watch for symptoms, and they, of course, found it much easier to read. But we had some interesting information about the order of the text. We thought it was important to put those who might be most seriously infected and that are affected, and that is in a pregnant woman or with people who are immune compromised. So we put that at the top. But some of the participants read that first and said, well, I'm none of those, so I don't need this. So it was suggested that we kind of put that at the end. So it's interesting about the order. In thinking of terms of utility for the formats, we thought in terms, okay, what does a traveler take with them? They often take reading material. So we designed the same text in a bookmark format, and this was their response to the bookmark. I don't even want to read it. Now, it's got the same information, the bulleting, the bold facing, the checklist, but because it's 9-point type, which is the same as the 2006 measles travel health alert notice, by the way, they just didn't want to read it. Too much. Too much all at once. Another item that international travelers carry, of course, are passports. So we thought of designing the travel health alert notice in the size of a passport. And this is what it looked like. We put it into booklet format so we could easily on the cover pop out, you may have been exposed to measles, save this card, find out what to do. Then the middle section is about steps to take and the symptoms to look for, and the back part has the note to the doctor and also space to stamp the U.S. quarantine contact phone number. And what was their response to this one? It's like you just put eyeglasses on. It's so clear. It's the best one so far. So when we asked the group to take a vote, this was their unanimous choice. So what were our findings and our recommendations? The focus group told us that the formats for plain language were much preferred, and that the passport size using larger point type was the first choice, unanimous choice. And the personal contact is extremely important when giving out written material, and we will recommend all these items. The limitations of the focus group were, of course, it was a small group. We very much need to get feedback from more people. And indeed, we're in the process of a huge project, which Michael Burke will explain later in this session. And we will be conducting a focus group of travelers and physicians and getting to assess travel health communication needs. And we will do more pilot testing. There was only one male in the group, and not surprisingly, the male had more different opinions than the females, and we need to have equal representation. And we need representations of a younger age group, 18 to 29 years, and an older age group, 60 to 75. And we need more speakers of English as a second language. So we will do that. Thank you. Thank you.